Evening, everyone. Welcome to our second capacity building webinar for the FPF, the Flexible Project Funding. And this is building on from yesterday's session. And just before we start, we have some housekeeping rules. For translation into French, click on the interpretation button. Bottom right of your screen. Please have your camera and the microphone turned off so that there is clarity when the presentations are going on. The recording will be done in two languages, that is in English and in French. The PowerPoint, we don't have PowerPoint slides, but we are going to upload all the presentations, the templates, the explainers have already been uploaded on our fourth programming round website. So if you go there, you'll find them in English and in French. We will also have a Q&A question and answer session. So please enter your questions into the chat as we go, as we proceed, so we can respond. As well as the team will open up for questions at the end of each section. And we will also have a questionnaire, short questionnaire at the end of this webinar. So please answer, give us your feedback to help us improve how we deliver our future webinars. The format of today's session is stepping you through one, the EIF budget template, the Excel template, and the explainer. This is Annex A in the product template. The second component is going to focus on the EIF monitoring and evaluation requirements, specifically the project results framework, that is part five. The project monitoring, reporting, and data management under part four, and the EIF reporting, monitoring, and evaluation requirements, part nine of the PRODOC. We will use the FPF template itself rather than the PowerPoint presentation. And for the Excel budget, we will also step through the Excel template. As is provided. All the fourth programming round information is on the EIF fourth programming round webpage, and the templates and webinars are already up on the website. The webinar recordings will also be posted there once concluded. All applications must be completed on the EIF fourth programming round FPF templates. Please don't use any other templates from any other programming round. Specifically, use the fourth programming round templates that have been provided on their website. Applications in any other format will not be accepted. So, thank you and welcome. And over to Naeem, our first presenter on the budget. Thank you.
Thank you, Martha. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening. I'll walk you through the budget template for flexible project funding and explain how to properly complete it when preparing your project budget. Today, I'll be presenting two documents. One is the explainer, and another is the Excel budget template. Both of these documents are available on the EIF website, and we strongly recommend reviewing the guidance provided in the explainer. The explainer provides guidance on the budget template structure, what the EIF can and cannot fund, the different columns and rows that need to be completed, and the UNDG categories, which I will be discussing further in details later in the session. This template has been designed to meet the UNDP MPTF harmonized reporting requirements. So this is very much standard, and we don't have much flexibility with customizing this for every project separately. Some overall guiding tips for the budget. Try to be realistic and please avoid to be overly ambitious. Be cost conscious, so try to have not very expensive things with whatever you are budgeting for the project. And use resources that are available nationally. By that, we mean that especially for TCC PCCs, if you have any resources available with the military, with the police, like using their venues for workshops, events, or accommodations on bases when they're traveling with you, try to use those resources. And provide details, provide breakdown justifications in the budget. So don't try to just put a big amount, for example, $10,000 for an event, but rather give details to say this much is for the venue, this much is for the printing, for catering, or for whatever you may need. Next, in the template in the explainer, I will go through what the EIF can and cannot fund. I won't be going through each line separately, but I will just highlight the main items here. So what the EIF is unable to fund is vehicles, purchase of vehicles. We cannot fund that. Purchase of ammunitions, weapons, and riot shields and batons, even if it's for training purposes. Payment of salaries or overtime for any civilian or military employees of the government. Alcohol and gifts, especially for senior personnel. These are the items that the EIF cannot fund. What the EIF can fund is female fit equipment such as body armor and helmets, hiring a car. So we cannot fund purchasing a car, but if needed, you can hire a car. And this is usually for MOVIP projects. Other reasonable costs can include, but they are not limited to, training activities that may include hiring a venue, training materials, communication materials, refreshments, purchase of accounting softwares or equipment, recruitment of consultants or CSO organization for EIF grants, recruitment of consultants, and accommodation for military or police members where required and when it's not available on base. And wherever a podium is requested, please provide a copy of the government policy or rules that is available na nas nationally. You can refer to this explainer later for the details. Now, let me go to the budget template. and walk you through the different columns and rows or different sheets that are in this template. As you can see, there are three sheets in this budget. One is the budget, the detailed budget. This is where you will be entering data. The second one is the UNDG summary page. And the third one is the lists. You only need to enter data in this detailed budget sheet. Please do not enter any data in the UNDG summary sheet. This calculation is done automatically. The lists sheet, this is protected, so you cannot enter anything. Even if you try to, it will not allow you. Still, you may be able to unprotect it, but if you make any changes or enter anything, this will result in the whole budget being incorrect. Now I will go through the different columns here in this budget. So in the first column, column A, these are the big activities. Column B, here is the breakdown of each activity. So for example, if you have campaign, here you provide all the small activities that are part of that campaign. In column C, you see these are the UNDG category. For every line item you are entering here, you need to assign a UNDG category. And this will be done through the drop-down list. We have already provided a drop-down list, so you can just enter, click on that, and choose a relevant UNDG category. This is very important. If you miss any, if you miss to assign or choose a UNDG category, the whole budget will be incorrect. Column D, E, and F, this is for the units, quantity, or the number of units, and this is where you will be entering data, mainly the numbers here. Column G, is the unit price in local currency. From column H onward, from H, I, J, and K, these are the columns that you do not need to enter anything. And we have put a note here at the top to say, please do not enter any data in these columns. This calculation will be done automatically. As you can see here, we have a column for the national currency and we have a column for the USD. Especially in the case of TCCs or PCCs, if the expenses are going to be incurred in local currency, we recommend that you prepare your budget in local currency and put the exchange rate here at the very first row, at the top row. And this calculation or the conversion to the USD will be done automatically. We recommend using the exchange rate that is published by the central bank of your country. The last column in this template is the justification column. In this column, we request that you provide details, justification, or breakdown of any budget line that you put here. So, for example, if you have a travel and you have 2000 USD budgeted for that, here you can put the details to say two people traveling to this city for this many days. So, here is the DSA. So this is for the justification, and we encourage you to provide as much detail and justification as possible. If you go to the bottom of this template, you can see that we have direct cost, that is the contingency. We have already included that. We suggest that you put 5% contingency, and this is calculated automatically. So when you enter other amounts in this template, the 5% contingency will be calculated automatically. And the indirect cost, this is only for PUNOs, for the UN agencies who are applying for the fund. This is the indirect support cost that is at flat rate of 7%. This will also be calculated automatically, and you don't need to enter anything here. Please make sure that this is the last item in the budget. We have seen before that the indirect cost comes before the contingency or other items, which is not correct, because the 7% indirect cost should be calculated on all other costs that are included in this budget. Or any GCCs or BCCs, please remove this line. Okay. As I said before, this template is pretty much standard. We cannot add any more columns. If you need to add any columns at the end, you can do that if you want to provide more details. But in between these columns, which you can see, please do not add any more columns. However, you may be able, or you may need to enter or insert more rows, because you might have an activity that has 20 or 10 lines. So you can add as many rows as you need, but please make sure that the formula is applicable here. So if you add a row, for example, if I add a row here, the formula may be missing. So as you can see, if you enter anything here, it may not be picked up on the national currency or in the USD. So please try to make sure that this formula is picked up correctly, and have all the subtotals checked to make sure the new rows that you are adding is automatically picked up and the formula is applied. Now, let me go to the explainer here. Here, I would like to talk about the UNDG categories. So, whatever I just explained in the budget template, you can see all that here. We have put screenshots and highlighted places where you need to pay attention. Here you can see the UNDG categories. This is very important. So we have explained here what costs fall under each UNDG category. If you put a wrong, or if you choose a wrong UNDG category to budget lines, this can result in one UNDG category being overly inflated and the other le less. So the overall and the UNDG summary, where you see these percentages will not be correct. So under UNDG category one, all staff and personnel costs should fall here. So if you have salaries or benefits or overtime, these expenses should be under UNDG category one. UNDG category two is for supplies, commodities, and materials. So this is mostly for consumable goods or items. For example, food, construction materials, drugs, or other things. I'm not going line by line. You can refer to this later. Category three is for equipment. Even though it mentions vehicle here, this is a standard name for this category. But I mentioned before that the EIF cannot fund purchasing a vehicle. So this category has the durable goods. So all the durable goods like equipment, IT equipments, laptops, printers, this should fall under category three. Category four is contractual services. This is mainly procurement contracts. Sometimes there is confusion between category four and category one. Category one is mainly for HR contracts, individual contracts, and category four is for procurement contracts. Category five is travel, so anything related to travel, tickets, DSA, transportation, hiring a car, fuel for the car, all this will come under category five. Category six is the transfer of grants to counterparts. If you have any NGOs say so, and you transfer any grants, that will fall under category six. UNDG category seven is the general operating or other direct cost. So anything that does not fall under the above six UNDG categories, that will come under UNDG category seven. So this is mostly like the general operating cost that may include telecommunication cost, rents, bank charges, finance charges. All this will come under UNDG category seven. UNDG category eight, as I said, this is only for PUNOs. These are not this 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 is not applicable for government entities. This is the 7% indirect cost that is at flat rate and standard, and this cannot be changed. So you can refer to the details in this explainer, but I just highlighted the main points here. The last thing that I wanted to show you in the budget. So when you prepare the budget before submitting or sending this to the EIF, we recommend that you do a budget check, a quality review to make sure there are no errors. There are a few ways that you can make sure or check to see there is no errors. The very first thing that we recommend to check is the totals. Here is the grand total of the budget and the detailed budget sheet. So here we have 187K. This should be matching with the UNDG summary page. So if this amount does not match this, it's a red flag. It means there is something incorrect with the budget. And also, this percentage should be 100. If this is not 100, there is something not correct with calculating the UNDG categories. Earlier, I talked about the UNDG category 8, which is applicable for PUNOs, and that's the 7% indirect cost. This always should be 6.54 as the total percentage, as the percentage of the total budget. So if you see that this is not 6.54, it means this is not correct. So that is one way to check if the budget is correct. We recommend checking the formulas for all the totals or subtotals that you have in this budget. So you can just click on this and you will see the formula here. Or sorry. Or you can just double click on this and it will show you where this comes from. For every activity, we have a subtotal both in national currency and in US dollar. So if you double click on that, it will show you where this amount comes from. And just to make sure that this is correct and all the lines that you have are being included in these totals. Another thing that is very important is make sure that each line item has a UNDG category assigned. So if you see, for example, here the UNDG category is missing, the totals will not be correct. So always have a relevant UNDG category selected. And one last thing to check for any errors, and this is very useful, is if you want to check this amount, for example, to see where this amount comes from and to make sure that all the previous items or lines that you have in the budget has been included or calculated in this total, you can go to the formulas tab and then click on trace precedence. So this will bring these rows, these blue arrows that you can see, and this shows you that this total comes from these two lines. You see these two dots here. And if you keep clicking here, this will give you further references or where all this amount comes from. And if you keep clicking this, this tells you what is this amount coming from. So this is a total of all these lines. So you can keep on. Or if you just want to check this one item, you can click on this and click on this, and it will show you where this is coming from. So if you see somewhere that one arrow is missing, it means that has not been included in the budget. I will stop here and see if there are any questions. You can raise your hand or you can put your questions in the chat or in the Q&A box and we will answer that. So please ask your questions if you have. Martha,
No, I don't see anything in the chat.
no questions?
Yeah,
All
but
right.
maybe
Well,
people can raise their hands in case there's any question on the budget and the explainer.
Yes, and If any questions come to your mind, we can still take questions at the end of this session too. So now I will hand over to Agathe for the next part of this presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, Naeem. So in the session today, we will focus on several aspects of monitoring and evaluation. First, I will provide an overview of the EIF results framework so that you can get an idea about the impact and outcomes we're trying to achieve. And this is important because your project must contribute to at least one of the four key EIF outcomes. And we also have some standard indicators that you can draw from. So I will show that as well today. And then we will move to the project level and the project results framework and how to develop it so that it's, and for us, it's really important to have a strong framework to measure progress. And then my colleague Stephanie will also present about project monitoring, reporting, data management, as well as the EIF reporting and M&E requirements. So now I'm going to share my screen to show you the EIF results framework. So as you can see here, this is at the fund level. And the ultimate impact we are trying to achieve is to contribute to accelerating the pace of change towards the increased meaningful participation of women to UN peace operations. The secondary impact that we have is that knowledge gained by the fund contributes to the global conversation on increasing the participation of women in peace operations. And then here we have four outcomes. The first one is expanded country-specific knowledge of barriers to the deployment of women. And all of you have already contributed to this outcome when you did the MOIP barrier assessment. Then the second one is about increased meaningful deployment of women to UN peace operations. And that's the work we do with the Gender Strong units. And I don't think any of you here applied for a Gender Strong unit, so it might not be relevant. But here, outcome three is really important for you because it's about increased pool of women eligible to deploy, right? So it's really at the national level to increase the number and the pool of women who are eligible to deploy. So this is through either recruitment campaigns, through specific targeted training, specific infrastructure at the national level, or awareness campaigns and activities to deploy, or it could be also policy development, right? So I think all of the projects today will contribute to this outcome three. And then the fourth is really within the missions. Right, so it's improve working and living conditions for women within UN missions, and it's usually for our UN mission projects, right? So I don't think, I mean, it depends on your project, but I don't think you will contribute to this outcome four unless you have maybe some specific equipment for women when they are in the mission, right? But I think for you today, it's mostly outcome three that is important. So now you may ask how to make sure my project kind of contributes to this fund level framework. So we have a set of standard indicators to draw from, and I'm going to share them with you shortly. And this is mostly as a kind of a tip, as a tip when you work on your project results framework. So just to for you to know where it is, I'm just gonna scroll back up. It's in the explainer about the product template. So if I go down, we have this appendix here with the indicator placemat. And so we have for all of the outcomes. But here for outcome three, which might be relevant to you, so we have output level indicators and outcome level indicators. So let's say I'm doing an activity about awareness raising, about opportunities to deploy, right? So I can draw from those indicators when I prepare my project results framework, such as here, number of awareness campaigns or activities conducted, number of women who have been informed about opportunities to deploy, right? And then at the outcome level, I want to measure the number of women who have been sensitized, right, through those awareness raising activities, but they are who are also nominated, selected, and deployed as UN peacekeepers. So these indicators, I don't want you to copy-paste them in the product. I want you to think about them and then maybe tweak them so that it's really relevant to your project. So another example could be with training as well, right? So of course, number of training sessions conducted, number of women who have taken those training sessions, and then those who actually passed, let's say, national examinations or UN tests to deploy. And then at the outcome level as well, we want to know the number who have been trained through the EAF-supported activities, but who are also then who passed the exams and then who are nominated, selected, and effectively deployed to UN peacekeeping. So these are just examples to draw from. Again, we also encourage kind of outside the box thinking, and we want to make sure this is really relevant to your project. So some indicators might be relevant, others not. But I just wanted to give you this tip in this appendix that you can take a look from. So now let's move to the product. I'm gonna share my screen with the product, which is the template we used yesterday as well. So here it is. So I directly went to part five here, project resource framework. And you can see there are several tables. So the first table is related to the EAF primary impact that I presented earlier, which is to accelerate the pace of change towards the meaningful participation of women in UN peace operations. And there is one indicator we want you to fill out here about the number and percentage of women peacekeepers in UN peace operations during the year at project commencement. So it might be 2026 for you. At project completion, could be 2028, 2 years later. And then 2 years after project completion. So it might be 2030. So I know 2030 is really far, right? And so we will ask you for a target. I know there's a lot of things that can happen until then. But really what we want to give you to provide some estimates. So for the baseline data here, you will write the number and percentage, let's say, of women. It could be here, I'm writing MOs, military observers, if you're a military. It could be SOs, staff officers, and it could be troops here. So that's really based on deployment data for 2026. And yesterday we shared that we have a database on your website using DPO data, so you can use that. If you're a police organization, it will be different here. It will be IPOs. Yeah, individual police officers or FPUs from police units. So then here, 2 years from now will be 2028. So same as well, we want to see a gradual increase in the number and share of women over time. So let's try to be realistic, also given the context right now with peacekeeping, and then some estimate for 2 years after project completion. But I know that's difficult to provide right now, but we can still provide an estimate. So that's at the EIF kind of impact level. Now here we have the four outcomes I just presented earlier. And I just, for you, it will be blank, but I wanted to give you some examples. So I filled it out, let's say, with a couple of examples. So as I said, I don't think you will contribute to the first two outcomes. So I didn't fill out anything here, but again, it can be based on your project and the activities. You can check with your EIF focal point. But here for outcome three, so as you can see, we have several columns to fill out. And one tip that is useful is to look at the footnote here, right? Because we provided definitions for each of those columns. So as you can see here, for the first column, barrier, it's really the barrier and obstacle identified in the MOIP report that you describe in part two, a barrier assessment summary that I shared with you yesterday. So here, try to be specific, really. So it could be lack of awareness about opportunities to deploy to UN peace operations, for example, if this came out in your MOIP report. Then in the second column about objective, so it's really the objective of the proposed activity to address or remove the barrier. So here it could be raise awareness about opportunities, selection criteria to deploy to UN peace operations. Then the key activity is really what will be undertaken, right? So here it could be conduct awareness raising sessions in five military zones about opportunities to deploy for women and men personnel, for example. The output, so really output here is the tangible product, deliverable, or services that will be produced as a result of the project activity. So here it will be five awareness raising sessions in five military zones are conducted. Or if it's a gender policy, let's say, so to develop and disseminate a gender policy is the activity, and the output will be the gender policy is developed and disseminated. Then in terms of indicators, so here it's a statement, either qualitative or quantitative, but ideally quantitative. It depends on the activity, related to some aspect of the either output or outcome to really measure how you achieve this output or this outcome. So it must be specific, so no room for ambiguity, really clear and specific. Measurable, so you can actually measure progress towards it. Achievable, so it's really based on what's feasible. Relevant, so relevant to the barrier, the activity, the objectives. And then time bound, so this idea of a timeline. So those are the kind of smart indicators. So if I take my awareness raising example, as you can see, I added quite a lot of indicators. First, at the output level, so it would be the number of awareness raising sessions disaggregated by location, number of personnel who attended these awareness raising sessions disaggregated by gender and location. And then since you want to measure kind of an increase in awareness, right? You want to raise awareness and increase awareness. One idea could be the number and percentage of uniformed personnel reporting increased awareness and knowledge about peacekeeping opportunities and deployment criteria. So that's kind of a self-reporting, and you could do a survey at the beginning of the session and at the end where they kind of self-report, right? So that could be one way. Or if you want to really measure knowledge, right, you could do also a survey at the beginning and at the end. And you kind of, it's not self-reporting, but you capture the knowledge gained, for example. So again, there are many ways to do that. I just have some example here for you with a baseline and then in pre and post. But we want you to kind of be creative and think outside the box. And then here, this is the indicator I mentioned earlier. We want to know the people who have been sensitized during the sessions, but then were actually, sorry, nominated, selected, and actually deployed to UN peace operations. So like that, you can see the full results chain, right? From the output, from the training sessions to actually the awareness being raised, and then whether it led to kind of actual deployment as well. So then for the baseline, so the baseline column is really kind of a data point to start with. So it's really the current value of the indicator before starting the project or the implementing the activity. So here, if I never did this type of sessions before, I put zero. And then I can also do a baseline survey to kind of measure what personnel kind of know in terms of knowledge about peacekeeping opportunities. And then you have the target column here. So here again, it would be the measurable products really and kind of what you are hoping to achieve. So if it is 5 sessions in 5 zones or regions, you specify them A, B, C, D, E. If it's 500 personnel and let's say 300 women, 200 men. So it's really linked to the indicator, right? As you can see. And then whether you want to do an online survey, really about, let's say, self-reporting, you can have a target here as well. So I just put some examples. What we want is something really realistic and achievable. So it's really based on your context, and you will see that. Yeah, you can indicate that. If I take another example, one of the key obstacles sometimes identified is the lack of driving and language skills for women to deploy, let's say, as individual police officers, IPOs. So your objective might be to increase driving and language skills among uniformed women to be able to deploy. And then the activity could be to conduct driving and language training to prepare for AMS SAT examinations to deploy as IPO. The outputs can be 5 training sessions on driving and language are delivered to women personnel before the AMS SAT. And then in terms of potential indicators, you could have the number of training sessions disaggregated by type, language, or driving, number of women who attended the training, number of women who were then selected to take the AMS SAT examinations, number of women who actually took the exams, right? Number of women who passed those exams, and then number of women who passed the exams and actually deployed as IPOs. Because you know those exams are valid usually for 2 years. You may pass the exam, but that doesn't mean you will be deployed, right? So that's really good for us to really see from the training all the way to actual deployment. And it's really then a kind of strong way to measure results and the results chain. So I put also some baseline example. So for example, yeah, 10 before the project, maybe only 10 women were there were no such training, especially for women only. Then maybe 10 were only selected. for those type of exams before. Then 8 women took the exams and only 5 women passed, because we know sometimes driving and language is actually the two difficult parts of the exams. And then maybe out of 5, only 3 actually deployed. So that's, let's say, before the activity, before the project. And then after, so in terms of goal and targets, maybe you're planning to do 5 sessions, 3 driving, 2 language, and then 70 women. You're hoping to train 70 women. 50 would be selected by the security institution to take the exams. Let's say 45 will actually end up taking the exams, and 30 will pass it. So then you have also a roster of 30 women who are now eligible to deploy as IPOs. And then maybe 20 of them, then in the following 2 years, will actually deploy. So what I like here, I highlighted that, is that then you can show that it represents 66% of the 30 women roster, let's say. So that can be a target. And then when we do later the quarterly reporting with us, you will report against actual data, right? So these are kind of two examples. There could be many based on if you do policy development, specific measures, infrastructure, or other type of activities. What I strongly encourage is that you speak with the EIF focal point that you will have, like from the kickoff meetings onwards, and they will be really helpful to help you refine your results framework. And again, really trying to really show the results chain and really be able to measure results. That's really important for us. And you can be creative if you want to do different methods. It can be simple, like a pre and post survey, but it can be also more elaborate. And I strongly suggest that you budget for that as well, for different maybe M&E, either surveys or midterm evaluation, for example. Make sure it's in your budget. And you can be creative based on really the activity, the output, and what you're trying to achieve. So that's kind of in a nutshell. And I'm happy to take any questions now, or I will first hand it over to Stephanie, and then we can do a Q&A after, if you wish. And again, here, as I said, I didn't put anything under outcome 4 because it might not be relevant for you here today. So I really just focus on outcome 3. So maybe I suggest that, yeah, I will hand it over to Stephanie, and then we will open it up for questions. If that's okay.
Thank you, Agathe. So we just discussed what makes a strong results framework, in the sense specific, measurable, achievable, realistic, time-bound. We will now go back to the part of the product template focusing on the implementation strategy. So we're back in part 4. And what you can see on your screen right now is the subsection that is dedicated to project monitoring, reporting, and data management. So this subsection focuses on the implementation side of the results framework. So once the project is underway, this subsection is really about unpacking how you will actually monitor progress, collect and manage the data, track indicators, and also generate the evidence that is needed to demonstrate results and also to support decision-making throughout the implementation of your project. So we recognize that monitoring, reporting, and data management, it can sometimes feel intimidating or overly technical, highly resource-intensive, or all three together. But what we want to highlight here is that effective monitoring systems do not necessarily need to be overly sophisticated or burdensome, like Agathe also mentioned through a few examples. But on that note, one thing that we do frequently observe across programming is that monitoring and reporting can often become difficult or be perceived as difficult when projects themselves become overly broad or overly ambitious in relation to the implementation timeframe, the available budget, the operational realities, the financial and human resources available to support monitoring and follow-up. And so this is really why monitoring, reporting, and data management strategies should not be treated as an afterthought once activities have been identified. Thinking about monitoring arrangements early in the design process and throughout this design process is actually really important to strengthen your operational realism. We talked about it a little bit yesterday when it came to the broad project scope, but monitoring progress within your project is also going hand in hand with this operational realism. So, in practice, the way you can think about it is that the whole design process is not just focusing on the question, what do we want to do? But this should also go hand in hand with another question, which is, how can we actually prove whether meaningful progress has been achieved regarding this output, this other output, regarding the ultimate outcome that is envisioned? This is really important because at the end of the day, project success will not be defined only based on whether activities were completed, but also, and really most importantly, on whether the project can credibly demonstrate that output level progress has been made and that outcome level results have been achieved or at the very least advanced. So one last comment before going into the template details. We strongly encourage you to keep in mind that ultimately, the stronger the evidence generated through consistent monitoring and quality data collection, the better you are able to demonstrate, communicate, and take ownership of the progress and the results that your projects have achieved. So, moving into the template now, the first subsection, monitoring and evaluation plan, this is intended to demonstrate what the project that the project has a realistic system in place to monitor implementation and assess progress toward results. So, at the practical level, you're being asked to explain how outputs and outcomes will be monitored, who will be responsible for monitoring and reporting, how information will be collected and reviewed throughout implementation, and how monitoring responsibilities will be coordinated. For example, here you could explain that training attendance may be tracked by training academies, deployment-related information may be validated by deployment coordination units. Human resources departments may support personnel data management. Project focal points will be in charge of consolidating, monitoring information, and prepare reports. So this is kind of where you give an overview of your strategy before going into more specific details when it comes to the implementation of that strategy. So the next subsection, tracking progress. So this is precisely about going into more details. This is where you will explain to us how you plan on regularly reviewing implementation progress to identify delays or bottlenecks early enough, and also ensure that activities overall remain on track throughout implementation. We went over the project timeline yesterday, and so it is really important to keep track of this pace of implementation. And so this is also a subsection where you should highlight where what mechanisms will support this timely follow-up and also all the decision making. So for example, here you could explain that quarterly implementation review meetings will be organized. This is where you can detail what processes will be put in place to establish the baseline data, what frequency data will be updated to really consistently measure progress made against the different indicators, the different targets that we have just discussed with Agathe. Importantly, this subsection is also about demonstrating that monitoring is not just about reporting to us, to the fund, but monitoring is also extremely critical to help you when it comes to adaptive project management during implementation. So, for example, let's say that you have planned a series of training. Monitoring the participation rates is really helpful to adapt your outreach approaches for the following training. So, for example, if the participation rates are lower than expected at the beginning, you may want to consider changing your outreach strategy and adjust it accordingly. If there are delays emerging in one implementation area, your monitoring will really help you reschedule some of the other activities. You will be able to sequence differently so that at the end of the day, you can remain within the project timeframe. Moving into the data collection. So this subsection focuses on what data will be collected to demonstrate progress and results, how the data will be collected, and it also is about how the reliability and accuracy of the data will be ensured. So here it is very important for us to insist again on the fact that effective monitoring does not necessarily require highly sophisticated systems. In many cases, relatively simple tools can provide very useful and also credible monitoring information. So you can use, for example, attendance sheets, training records, pre and post workshop questionnaires, deployment tracking tables, and also definitely build on the existing institutional databases and reporting systems that you can that you can build on. At the same time, this is also a very good moment to pause and remind that there's a distinction between tracking the implementation of activities and monitoring progress against output and outcome level objectives. So activity tracking is about, was the activity implemented? But output monitoring is about understanding, assessing, measuring whether or not the activity or the series of activities produced the intended immediate result that was envisioned. And then when it comes to outcome monitoring, this is really a broader, more complex work to really understand whether or not there is evidence of broader change in behaviors, in mindsets, in institutional performance. So that's a whole other dimension of monitoring. And monitoring outputs and outcomes does require a broader effort to assess whether capacities, systems, practices, again, institutional performance are actually changing as a result of your project. So there are several methods, several processes that can be considered to this level of monitoring. And these can include, we mentioned it earlier, some baseline and end line assessments, perception and satisfaction surveys, competency or knowledge assessments that can be conducted over time, focus group discussions, key informant interviews, and all of this will have to build on the triangulation of information that will be coming from multiple data sources. So I guess that spending a few minutes on this dimension of monitoring is also a way for us to flag that there are areas where monitoring requires additional reflection, additional coordination, additional investment. But this is also another way to tell you that monitoring really needs to be carefully considered, carefully strategized, in terms of data collection methods. And also, I get mentioned this as well, the human and financial resources that will be allocated to monitoring reporting. And then there's also so much work when it comes to institutional collaboration, the regular analysis, the backstage of monitoring. And this is too often a blind spot. This is something we have noticed in several projects. The ambition of the project is remarkable. The project approach to programmatic focus seems to be extremely relevant and coherent. However, when we get to the stage of, okay, so now how can we actually measure progress at the end of the project? How can we really prove that we have managed to achieve this or achieve that, building on the completion of activities? This is when it becomes challenging. But it should not become challenging, because if it is thoughtfully, carefully considered during this design stage of the project, monitoring is just another aspect of your project management. So one other point here that we do want to mention that is really important, and this is also a bit of a blind spot, it deals with the data reliability and accuracy. So when it comes to collecting data, you can collect data in very different ways from very different sources. But then to really ensure that it's accurate, to really ensure that it's reliable, we are asking you here to give us some reassurance on the ways you will that you will make sure that all of this data can actually be used. So here, this is where you can mention that you will be using standardized templates. You will be cross-checking, for example, attendance records against institutional databases. You will be validating figures with official records. You will be conducting spot checks. You will be reviewing data sets regularly for inconsistencies or missing information. So it's just to make sure that the maintenance part of the data is taken care of. And speaking of maintenance, so the next subsection, which is about data storage and data integrity. So this is about explaining where information will be stored, who will have access to it, how confidentiality and data protection will be ensured, what backup or safeguard measures re will reduce risks of data loss or system failure, because this can happen. And so here you could explain that project information will be stored in password protected databases. You can mention that access to personnel information will be restricted to authorized staff. You can mention that there will be backup copies of monitoring data sets that will be maintained regularly. And very importantly, you can highlight that there will be designated focal points in the different entities that are relevant to the project that will ensure that monitoring documentation remains up to date, remains complete, and remains protected. Overall, all of these different aspects related to data management, it comes down to one consideration: make sure that you are realistic when it comes to what needs to be done to ensure proper monitoring and reporting. And also build on the existing institutional systems, build on the existing capacities, because you have so many, there are so many systems in place, there are so many well-equipped personnel in your different organizations that can work on these different aspects. So definitely build on these existing systems and capacities. To conclude on this part of the product, so there are two last subsections, alignment with the EIF reporting. So we will actually get into those details in a minute, but basically this is about ensuring that the way you have thought of your reporting matches the reporting requirements of the fund. And you will see that there are very clear instructions for that. And the last point being that the use of data for learning and improvement. So this is really to flag the fact that monitoring, it's not just for reporting purposes, but it also is to improve implementation and strengthen institutional learning throughout the project cycle. So this is where you are strongly encouraged to explain how monitoring findings may inform project adjustments, how good practices and lessons learned will be identified, and how learning may be shared beyond the project team and beyond ourselves. How can it be shared institutionally? So for example, this is where you can mention things like participants' feedback collected after training sessions will help improve future training design. Monitoring data may help identify participation barriers affecting women personnel in certain locations, and how will you adjust the next phase of that activity that involves those women. So this subsection is particularly important because it's all about saying that strong monitoring systems should not only help projects demonstrate results, but also support continuous learning, adaptation, and improvement. So let's now move to the part of the product template, which focuses on specific reporting, monitoring, and evaluation requirements. So this is part 9. Thank you again. So under the EIF framework, reporting framework, fund recipients in partnership with the implementing partners are required to submit re regular narrative and financial reports throughout the project lifecycle using the official EIF reporting templates. This is very important. So quarterly reporting is organized as follows. Q1 covers the period from 1st of January to 31st of March, with reports due by 15th of April. Q2 covers the period from 1st of April to 30th of June, with reports due by 15th of July. And you can see that we have the same dynamic for Q3 and Q4. So the Q3 report is due by mid-October, and the Q4 report is due by mid-January of the following year. In addition to quarterly reporting requirements, the fund recipients must also submit an annual financial report covering the full calendar year, so from 1st January all the way to 31st December, and this is due by 30th of January. And then there is a final project closure report, which has to include both narrative and financial reporting covering the full project duration. And this report must be submitted within 3 months of the project closure date and no later than 31st of March of the following year. So one important point to highlight here, and a little bit once again, is that EIF reporting goes beyond describing activities implemented. I think that from this segment of the webinar, you have got this very strong signal from us to say that progress and results, it really goes beyond activities that are implemented and completed. So the reporting is also where you have to demonstrate whether activities contributed or not to measurable progress towards outputs and outcomes. And when I say or not, this is also something really important for us to say to you. We do not expect everything to go perfectly. We know we are we work at Fund, but we have also been project managers, project officers, and we know that things do not go according to plan on various aspects. And so the reports really are also a way for you to share with us some of the challenges and also show what solutions you may have found, or what is still work in progress. So we really encourage you to be transparent. We really hope that you feel that you can be transparent. Obviously, we want things to go as effectively as possible, but we know that sometimes there are challenges that are beyond our control. And so do not hesitate to also highlight the issues that you have been encountering. And also, of course, to indicate what steps you have been undertaking to mitigate and resolve those issues. So moving into the final few points of this section, and then we still need some time for some Q&A, so very briefly, but you can see that it's all very clearly indicated in the template. So the financial spot check for TPCCs only. So spot checks are part of EIF's accountability and risk management framework. The fund will organize an independent spot check to be conducted midway through project implementation. And this is where really we insist on the need to maintain continuously very well organized financial documentation throughout implementation, to also support us with this spot check. When it comes to bank statements for TPCCs only, again, so where a TPCC is the fund recipient, the security institution must open a separate bank account to receive the EIF grant. The TPCC is required to provide a copy of bank statements for that account as per EIF financial reporting requirements. And this is where we really want to insist on the fact that it is absolutely crucial that sufficient administrative and financial management capacities are available to support implementation and also these reporting requirements. The certified final financial statements and final financial reports. So fund recipients are to provide these to the EIF and the Multi-Partner Trust Fund Office, MPTFO, within 3 months of the project closure date and no later than 31st of March of the following year. And the last point of this subsection, the last but definitely not the least, when it comes to project midterm monitoring mission, but also final monitoring mission and evaluation. So, as per the EIF terms of reference, we are required to conduct these processes to determine if implementation is effective. And some of you may already be very familiar with evaluation processes and what they are all about, but very briefly, independent evaluations. They're generally focusing on a few quality criteria to assess how the project has actually been, how the project has been successful, to what extent it's been successful. And it's evaluated against the following. So the relevance, the coherence, the effectiveness, the efficiency, impact, and also sustainability. So this is why consistent and quality monitoring really matters, because monitoring data often becomes the primary evidence base used later for those independent evaluations. And again, this is why monitoring and reporting should not be treated only as an administrative requirement, but rather as a core part of sound project management and ultimately institutional learning. So let me hand over back to Martha as we will now move to the Q&A segment of this webinar. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Agat and Stephanie, and also Naeem. I think at this point we would like to open it up for any questions, and I'm just trying to see if there are any questions in the chat. Agat, I think we have something from Anna. I
Yes.
don't see anybody else.
Thank you, Martha. Yeah, so Anna, I don't know, Anna, if you want to share your questions and but I can also read. So you asked in the chat, can we budget for an activity aimed at establishing the project's baseline data? Donc, en français, est-ce qu'on peut budgétiser une action qui vise à mettre en place les données de base pour le projet? So, if it is really clearly tied to your project resource framework to really be able to measure specific indicators, like the one I said earlier about sensitization or awareness raising campaigns, for example, if there's an element with increased knowledge or increased awareness about a certain issue, then yes, you can budget for to kind of establish the baseline. To be able to measure this indicator at the beginning of the project, but it would have to be really clearly justified and articulated and with a specific time frame. But if it's a baseline, more like a baseline study, let's say, to support project design, then we consider that the MOIP barrier assessment is actually the baseline assessment, right? And there's a wealth of findings and information in that. So we would not necessarily be able to fund another study or things like that, right? But if it's really tied to the project resource framework, whether it's related to training, awareness raising, that could work. And but again, we will be in touch as well with you based on what you're planning, what based on what makes sense in the context of your project. And I think you have another question I just see. And feel free. I don't know if participants can actually also raise their hands and come in. But Anna is also asking if it's possible to do a final evaluation for the project. And yes, so as Stephanie just shared, there will be a final evaluation for the project as well. And we, the EIF, will be in touch with you for that. Usually it comes from the EIF budget and we take care of it, but again, it depends on the context. So we will be in touch with you regarding that. Are there any other questions from participants?
I don't see anything, but people could raise their hands and they could ask any question from any of our three presenters, from the budget that was presented earlier, and any aspect on the M&E that has been covered by Agathe and Stephanie. If not, we could please feel free to also, just type in. The team is here, and you can also reach out to the EIF Secretariat. And as we indicated, each of the projects has been assigned to a project focal point in the EIF team. So the project focal points will be reaching out to the specific countries to organize kickoff meetings. And even support you in areas that are important in terms of developing the project documents and the submission. We've also posted in the links for the templates and the explainers and our fourth programming round. They are all on the website and also in the chat. Feel free to please go through them and all the instructions. I'm just trying to see if there's any question. If there's none, we would want to do a poll like we did yesterday. We have some questions, a few questions. Should not take more than 2 minutes to complete. And the objective is just to help us better understand which areas require additional clarification or support as we continue developing your proposals. so that we can tailor our follow-up guidance and technical assistance to your particular situation, country, and the TPCC. I would therefore be very grateful you could take a moment before we wrap up the session. Vic, maybe you could bring up the poll. Okay, is it visible to everybody? The poll has three questions. It's both in English and in French. We give you some 2 minutes. Okay. Can see some pr responses have started coming in. So the first question is mainly around the budget. What additional guidance or clarification you need on the budget? The other question, question two, is looking at the aspects of monitoring, reporting, and evaluation that you'd want any further guidance or clarification. The third area is what type additional support would be most useful following this particular webinar. Okay. Presume most of the people have managed to. Anybody having any difficulties with the poll? Or we are good to go?
Wait another
Okay.
40 seconds, 1 minute. So we have six
Okay.
of 10.
Okay. Let's give them. Okay, fine.
And again, just want to say that these aspects, either related to the project resource framework or the budget, the UNDG categories, we will be here, the EIF team, to really support you in refining these aspects in the kickoff meetings and then during the bilateral support as well.
Good. As we are doing this, also a reminder that we have some sessions on Thursday. You're welcome to participate in this. This will be looking at the project communication, advocacy, and visibility, as well as the project risk management assessment in detail. That's the Annex B in the product template. So please also register for those sessions, and we will also be looking forward to your participation. And the recordings will be available once we are concluded with these sessions. They will be posted on the EIF Forth Programming website, in addition to the templates and the explainers. So in case any of your teams did not manage to participate in the webinars, they could go back and listen to the recordings. Good. I think we are concluded with the poll.
Yes.
Good. Okay. All right. We can see here. Okay. All right, we can see the on the first question, there's overwhelming what the EIF can and cannot fund. I think still more explanation or support is needed here, we encourage you. We will work with you as we are doing the kickoff meetings and subsequent support sessions with the countries to really go through this again in detail. But in the meantime, we encourage you to go through the template and the explainers. I think that's for question one. For question two, the area that seems to have that needs a lot of, further work is the EIF standard indicators on the M&E reporting and evaluation. I think here the countries, the TPCCs indicate more support. We will work with you on this as well. And the third area, okay, it's interesting. The additional support that you need is the bilateral technical support, which we will offer again as we work with the various TPCCs and the PUNOs in this particular round. So thank you very much. And EIF team is here to support you as we go through this process. So thank you, everyone. Good evening, good morning, goodbye from all of us. Thank you and bye-bye.
Thank you.